What a morning already. I mean, like a morning before the morning. Today, we're going to go on a little journey. Spirit of the Lord just started bringing a lot of things together. I'm going to try to roll out a few things for you today. I'm going to begin here with John 7:16. And Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me." I'm going to tell you what flows in here. We didn't get this from man. We didn't get it from seminary. Our seminar, we didn't get that. Honestly, it was revealed. We caught up into this realm after we had a lot of things happen here. And about a year, maybe a half later, Spirit of the Lord started catching up as in this realm. We called it the right hand of God. I mean, I remember our first year, I was thinking, I'd really like to go and preach this out to the nations, just these first revelations. I didn't know we'd be 10 years in it. And you glad God didn't show you everything at once? Because every year we would say, this is our year. That was our thing, like the beginning of January. This is our year. And that's kind of the way the Lord does. He keeps all this stuff in front of you. In my case, it never leaves me. I told Anna the other day, I said, this never leaves me. I don't think people understand. I don't have 15 seconds that go by in my life that this vision leaves me. It's with me all the time. Now, in the past, and I'm going to share some things with you about this, it was very heavy and very frustrating to carry because the weightier things of God are very difficult to carry unless you're connected. And when you're disconnected, they'll bury you. The weightiness of it will just bury you. You'll be frustrated. You'll be angry. Every emotion in the world will come out. And it took me a long time to realize it can't be carried in ourselves. And see, there's a difference between what God is about to do on this planet and what's being done right now. There's a difference between being anointed of God under what we would call the gift realm, because it's not as weighty. You don't have to be next to him all the day long. You can have your life and just step up and God will anoint you and you can just do that. And it happens a lot. But in the glory realm, it's not like that. In the weightier realms of God, you have to stay with him all the time. And it's a requirement. It's awesome what comes out, but the price is intense. And until you learn how to pay that price, you'll be very frustrated. There's a lot of people out there with a heavy, weighty mantle on their life, and they live frustrated all the time. They don't understand that that cannot be carried, facilitated, or released without being in an abiding place with God. It just can't happen. You're not even going to be at peace unless you're in an abiding place with God. You can't even live a normal life and be happy without in an abiding state with God. It's just the way it is. But it helps you because it'll keep gnawing on you till you get in the right place and then you get in harmony. And like, but the harmony and the glory and the peace that comes out of that realm, there's nothing like it anywhere. Nowhere can you find it. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to share this scripture with you in John 17, and I'm going to share a few things that happened this morning and where God has brought us here. John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly," that's really, it's your innermost being, your spirit man, "is going to flow rivers of living water." Say, rivers of living water. "And said, this spake he of the spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given yet." Or yet given, because Jesus has not been glorified. So what happens when you get born again in church, especially in our modern day church, if you get born again right, you get born again, then you get filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Then you get the understanding of certain dimensions of God and you minister. And most people's interpretation of that scripture is the Holy Spirit will come upon me and he'll flow his ministry out. And he will. He'll come upon us and he'll flow his ministry out of us, right? But what he's bringing out of you, and this is the great mystery, what he's bringing out of you is what you sowed in you. That river is different for everybody. Because what comes out of that river is a direct result of what you, it's like a garden that turns into a river that flows out. What you sow into that river will come out. And if you don't sow in that river, not much will come out. And if we sow in the arena of the sandbox arena, the kindergarten arena or the milk arena or whatever you want to call it, that's what's going to come out. If you sow into the meat of God's word, into the deep realms of God, that's going to come out. It's going to eventually come out. It may take a little more time, but it's going to come out. I'm going to talk to you about this water a little bit, these living waters. But I'm going to take you on a little journey before I share what I saw this morning. We saw a lot. Whew, man, these realms are opening big right now. Because things are opening right now. You're in a time of opening. Things we've been sowing for a very long time are starting to open. And the glory of the manifestation that's coming. See, a lot of people will say that God's coming. And they got a revelation of it. And then other people say God's coming and they're carrying what's coming. There's a difference between seeing what's coming and carrying what's coming. When you carry what's coming, you're from another realm. Like the Lord said, I'm not of this world. And things I'm about to speak to you are not of this world. I'm bringing something from another realm altogether. There's some people just see another realm and say, God's coming. I can't wait for him to show up. The other ones have what God's come. You have brought it down. It's in you and it's going to come out in a river of glory. Those rivers are everything from 30, 60 to 100 fold. It depends on where you're sitting with God in a determination of what's coming out of you. If you're sitting in a 30 volt arena, that's what the Holy Spirit's going to bring. But there's another arena the Holy Spirit will bring out. It's one given by the Father. Out of the glory realm of the Father. Out of that magnificent, glorious heart of his when he said, the plans I have. See, when we read the Bible like that, the plans I have for you are good and not evil. Those plans were created, constructed about 10,000 millennials before you were ever born. Before the earth was created, you were in him. He forged and formed you. He forged a plan for you. But it's not like our plans because we're thinking in the longs of the way we plan. God doesn't plan like we do because he doesn't plan with this soul thing. He plans from this heart thing. He plans from this realm of his love and glory and fullness. That's not of this world. He plans from, and he writes it all in a book, but it's not like a natural book. It's all living. It has his life, his glory, his love, his fullness in it. When you tap the plan, you're clothed in the plan. You're not just clothed in the soul realm, you're clothed in all of it. And when you touch the plan, you see the plan, you're not just seeing it, you're feeling it. It's got substance in it. It's not of this world. And it's that substance that God's given that the Holy Spirit is eventually going to bring out like a mighty river. That river doesn't originate in the earth. It doesn't have earthly things. It has heavenly things in it. But man, when it hits the earth, bam. And when it's new, it's going to come out like a torrential river. Some people are called to minister what is. And some people are called to minister what is not. Yet come. To speak the things in the realm that be not. From the realm as though it were. You got to be in that realm. You can't just come speak a whole new revival in when you don't have it inside you. It doesn't work like that. I tried that. You don't bring heavenly things out unless you're in the heavenly things. You can't just drum up in an anointing and suddenly just stir up a whole new realm of God just because you have a desire. If you're not carrying that, you can't just speak it in. You have to go into where it's at and drink from another fountain and eat from another table. That's what we're trying to do is get you into another table. one that's not of this world. It's going to have an impact. Big. With that said, I want to share a few things. Back in the days, it's somewhere between 2000 and 2003, I would imagine. I was in the ministry, I know that much. I was still with my spiritual father. I was at his conference. And I remember that, I fell out. Somebody prayed for me and I fell on the floor. And I couldn't get off the floor. And I could tell I was kind of pinned down. How many of you have ever been pinned down? You know what I'm talking about? When the glory's in you, you get pinned down. It's like you don't just fall out and get back up. And I was sitting there, and this glory kept coming over me and over me and over. And I could tell the service was stopping, and there were people talking around me, but I was in another realm. And when that happened, I got caught up into this room. And those days, it was kind of new to me to be in this realm. And the Lord says, I have a gift for you. And before you say yes, because I was one of those guys that would just jump and then think about it, I'd jump out in the water and then say, oh, what did we do? In those days, God would show me and would just jump out and then say, oh, are we ready to jump out yet? That kind of thing. I'd move before prayer and before thinking. So he said, he goes, before you say yes, he doesn't come and like just speak words to you. He communicates. Without words, you can talk without speaking. That's the way it is in heaven. And God can, if it's your spirit's involved, he can communicate a lot of things in a very short time. The scientists call it the subconscious mind, spiritual mind. It's in the God class. So because it's made in his class, he can talk to you a lot. Father likes it because Father can down a whole lot of things to you in a split second. Like he can take your hard drive and shove multiple gigabytes of information in your hard drive, and the Holy Spirit can extract that because your spirit man can handle it. Your mind will take a little while to catch up, but your spirit man will go, whoo. How many of you ever had that happen? I got to tell you about how that works. I was talking to my friend, kind of partner friend in Florida, and I was telling him about this spiritual algorithm God downloaded to me the other day. Don't even ask him about it. There's no way I can explain it. And he can get it because he's a scientist. So he's real brilliant. And he goes, hey, I need to tell you something. Because this guy, he's had 85 inventions. One of his inventions was a $200 million invention. But he had signed his rights away to Westinghouse. And they got the invention, not him. They paid him a parting salary. But they made $200 million on his invention. Anyway, he's telling me that, he said, you know, when God speaks, he doesn't just speak to one person. He'll send out it multiple things. He'll send it out because God wants to know who's going to get the finish line first. And he goes, the reason I know that, because God gave me an invention. And he tried to start talking to him. I'm like, I said, you're getting too, I don't even know what you're talking about. Just tell me what he did. He goes, well, look, he gave me this invention. It was a water filter invention. And I got to the finish line, and we went to the patent office, and suddenly we got called in to the office by a judge. And there was somebody else that immediately filed a lawsuit against them for stealing their patent. And so they had to go to a patent judge, and this patent judge said, well, he goes, believe it or not, neither one of you are guilty here. We see this a lot. And this judge was actually a spirit-filled judge, and he goes, I want to tell you a little bit about how God works. And the judge is telling him this. He goes, you both got this at the same time. One of you got your notes because when an inventor, they have to put notes together if they're an inventor. And he goes, one of your notes, you just got there a week earlier. But you both got this at the same time. I know that because the way you started your notes is one of you processed it faster. But you both started processing at the same time. And the way I know you got that, you couldn't steal it because of the way your notes were going. He goes, but one of you got it 1 week earlier as far as getting all of it down into your notes, extracting. Because God gave it to both of you. And you both know the Lord, don't you? He said, this judge is telling them that. And they're going, yeah, but we have never had a judge in a patent office talk to us like this. He goes, well, unfortunately, only one of you can get it, and it's the guy who got the notes finished first. Isn't that amazing? God sends that frequency out like that. These are witty inventions. He said, you know, I made a lot of money on that one. Isn't that awesome? That's how God works. So he gets in the frequency. An encounter. Now, why I said that, I don't know, but I threw that out for somebody. So now I'm going to go back to this encounter room. So I'm in the middle of this encounter, and all these people talking, and God asks me, he goes, I have a gift for you, but before you say yes, I need to show you its power. And I need to show you its power for good or evil. And as soon as he said that, I got caught up in a room, and a sword appeared in this room. And I knew by revelation, I don't know if you're going to receive this or not, but I'm going to throw it out there for you. I knew it was a sword wielded by David. If you understand what we do and what we do around here, you can kind of understand that. And he said this was David's sword. And I began immediately feeling the weight of this sword. But it was spiritual now. It wasn't like a natural sword like he would wield in his day and hour. And I began feeling the weight of it so intensely, it started crushing my chest. And I came to the place in intercession. I got off the floor and I went upstairs and I told Tim, I said, I'm in intercession. His friend, he runs Days of Ministry. And I have 45 minutes. I was in this crushing, weighty intercession because I knew that this sword could destroy as much as it could build, depending on who wielded it. And I saw kings that were given to this. I was in this realm and I saw men giving this over years, and some had turned to idolatry and some turned to different things. And the things he was showing me, I was very heavily tempted, tried, tested, failed, fixed, all of that. But in that moment, I came to the place in my heart that said, how can I not receive this? How can I not do this? And when I accepted this, peace came over me. And that was the end of it. But today I was back in that encounter room this morning. And then another thing happened. I don't always talk about encounters. I like talking more about the word. But because everything you have heard on that website that we have called Right Hand of God, that is that sword, by the way. That is that sword. That is the word that causes you to wield that spiritual sword in the earth. That sword's going to be wielded at an unprecedented level by the last day kings that are coming into the earth. And before the right hand God started, right before it started, I had another encounter, because God merged these encounters today in a way that hopefully I can remember everything that happened this morning. Because we were zinging. And when I was in Immokalee, Florida, Bronx place. And so I remember I was in prayer that morning, and I've said this a couple of times recently and haven't talked about it in a long time. And now I know why I was talking about it. I was suddenly caught up, and I was like the Lord was standing with me. I don't know how to explain that. I know he was there. I just don't look at him and look at all the features because he wanted me looking at something else. As we were moving up, we were kind of going up through a atmosphere, and I saw a golden city. It looked like New York, but sprawling. Think about New York skyline, but think about it four times. It would be that big. But it's all golden, lit up. Beautiful, glorious. And I saw millions of people. All of them are God's people in there. And he took his hand like this. I remember he went like that. He goes, and he said it just like this. He said, this is the room of my blessing. That's what he did. He goes, this is the room of my blessing. I'm like, get me in there. Because I was on the jump. And I saw all the people that have obtained God's blessing that live a blessed life. Hey, listen, there's a lot of people that live a very blessed life with God. They've tapped in the frequency of it. And I thought we were going in. I'm like, come on. And we kept moving. And when you're in an encounter like that, you don't have to speak. You just think it and God will start communicating with you. And I'm thinking, why aren't we there? He goes, but that's not the room I have for you. And we moved through this cloud-like layer. I don't know how to explain that, but we moved through it and we ended up on top of this mountain. Now, the reason I'm talking to you about this today, because we were back in that mountain today. As soon as we come out from the realm of the throne of grace, Lily's grace, suddenly the Holy Spirit took us and we're standing in that mountain again. I'm like, what are we doing here this morning? I right in the same mountain right there, glory started filling up the room. And now I know why we're there. And so we're standing there. This mountain was different. Let me tell you what happened the first time. Well, I'll tell you what happened the first time, then I'll tell you what happened this morning. So we're talking about this mountain, and there's like ancient doors. We're on the top of it. There's a little plateau here, and we're standing there, and I'm standing with the Lord, and there's ancient doors to this, and they're open. And I walk into this mountain. I could see, but it was dark. Don't I explain that? And I saw wealth in that room. But it's dark. I saw stock certificates and gold, and I saw things stacked up just as far as the eye could see. And when we were in there, my first thought is, why is it so dark in here? And immediately the Lord speaks to me. He's not talking he's talking through communication. It's not like you're, how do I explain? I'm like audibly, he's not going, Moses. He doesn't do that in that kind of realm. He just communicates it to you. He just runs it through you in a communication. Spirit. There you go. So he says to me, it's dark. Or he communicates to me is better. It's dark for two reasons. One, it's because all that you're seeing is under enemy control right now. He goes, what I have released, it was the room I showed you. That's the room of blessing. He says, that room, he called it a room, looked like cities to me. But he said, that has to change in the last days. He goes, my church has to come here. And he said, it's dark. The other reason it's dark is because there's no light here. Nope, there's very few people that ever understand what this realm's about. It's mostly because they're living in the realm of a blessing. And he goes, my blessing's good, but that's not going to get the job done for the, and he said this, he said, the blessing realm won't do the job for the great harvest that's coming. This room was reserved to the Father for the great harvest. And the enemy only thinks he's in control of it. But I'm going to release this. Because I've laid up this in heavenly realms. And we come out of that room and he takes, I should get a key made like that. It looked like alabaster, but almost liquid. But it was about this wide, about that long, like a key. And you could see notches in it. It's kind of weird, but it's thick. And he took this thing and he goes, he didn't kind of even ask me, he just did it. He takes this and he shoves this inside me. And I go, whoa. He said, this key is going to unlock what's in this room. When he did that, I came out of the encounter. I'm thinking, what in the world is that a key? And from that point, you're going to have ears to hear today. But I'm going to throw it out there. And the Lord said, he goes, you speak what I tell you to speak today. And don't hold back. Listen, not everybody can receive these things. And sometimes you hold back because not everybody, I'm doing that today. Praise God. Amen. He said, when I come out of this room, I immediately received a series, a download of a series. And I thought that that was the key. And I actually preached it in three different churches. Back in them days, I was kind of traveling. And I'd have series made. And I'm sitting there preaching series that have 1% content in them, thinking it's the whole thing. And some of you probably were here hearing those series. And the series was called The Laws of the Sanctified Imagination. Say sanctified imagination. Somehow I could see a little bit of what he was trying to tell me. I realized it wasn't coming out of the soul. It had to be separated from the soul realm, had to come from God's mind or his will, but it was all still, now watch this, here. I was still thinking about the operation that we do here, because I was still a here person. You know what I'm talking about? See, if you're here, you're going to interpret all the word by the jurisdiction you live in. If you're there in the heavenly realm, you will not interpret this word the same way, because you'll see it from the realm it was given and understand it from the realm it was given. But back then I was thinking, okay, so I know that it's not coming out of the soul. You can't birth these things, but I know what God's going to do. So I've got a dream. And I talked about dreaming in that series, but I was dreaming from the wrong realm. But God said, it's good. You're still about 15 years out, but don't tell him yet. I could hear him have a conversation with Gabriel. He's 15 years out, but he needs a little time. Right? And so out come right after that, Constitution, all those things, holding the Constitution. Everywhere I went, I'd go into a series, I'd go into conferences holding Constitution, handing them away like they know what's in it and like they care, you know? And I'd hand it to them and, man, glory to God, you're going to speak to them, Father, I know. And the meeting would be over and the Constitution was sitting in the chair. I didn't understand what he was doing until now, until just recently. Because what he was trying to show in that key was going to require about 300 to 400 messages, about 15 to 20 series. It was going to require a training that was not presently in the world. What was in that key was a compacted level of heavenly training that would have to be walked through for a long time. But he doesn't tell you all this, because if he did, you'd probably not do it. Right? Because we're like, we're instantaneous society. Give it to me now. Things, the heavier, weightier things of God are going to take a little time. They won't take that time for you, so relax. If you get on this train, pay attention, keep your spirit. Man, you can get some serious. There's a training here that's, it's not of this world. That's why I said the doctrine is coming out of this place. It's not ours. It was given from him, but he laid every single word down, right? And all that was part of a training to bring us, and all the realms are glorious. Everything's wonderful, but to bring us to this realm of the Father, right? Which I keep trying to tell you about because it's growing now. It's really growing inside. And so all the things he was trying to teach me back then, you can imagine like trying to be taught a calculus level training and you're in third grade. You see that? I mean, that's God's dilemma. Look, he goes, I have some really good things for you, but you don't have a grid for it. And you're saying, just drop it on me, God. And God, I don't drop things like that. I give you the gift realm for that kind of thing, but I don't drop glory realm like that. It requires a training, but in the end, you'll get something. That when Jesus was speaking, he would come from that realm and say it like this. Kingdom of God is a treasure hidden in a field. It's a treasure beyond anything you can imagine. But you're going to have to sell your life for all your life for that one field. Kingdom of God is a pearl of great price. Have man found it, would leave everything he has for it. But you can't see that kingdom when you're over here distracted all the time. You're only seeing what's around you. But when you're in that realm with a focused heart, your whole body's flooded with the light. He'll flood you with the glory of this realm and understand there is some serious, serious, serious treasure. It's not just financial. It's everything the world wants and needs. It is every single level for humanity they'll ever need is in that room. It's in this glory realm and it's full and it's glorious and it has Father all over it. But you've got to find it. And the enemy's super skilled. He can be speaking it to you and you can't hear. You have to find it. The only way you're going to do this is what Tina came out. The Lord said, send her out in front. I'll give her a word for this. And she said, compass. I'm like, Because you have to have a compass. Find that. Otherwise, you'll never find it. Do you know how good even the blessed realm is good? You think anybody in that city I saw wants to leave that room? They don't see the other one. This other one can shift cities and nations, and it can shift the way church funds things. It can shift the way church does things. Instead of praying for somebody and wish something will happen, all of a sudden it's happening everywhere. Because it's a realm that's already done. It's a realm that's already finished. It's not a realm like somebody had sent me something and said, here's the key. And they said a couple things to do. And I'm like, that's good, but that's not how that realm works, because you don't have to do anything for this realm. That realm's already done. The only thing you got to do is walk into it. But here's the dilemma about this realm. This realm was created before you were ever born. This realm that can shift our city. Listen, the enemy has a plan. God has a plan. And so, where we are, say, Father, move. But in this realm, you're not just saying, Father, move. You're bringing the movement with you. You have the movement inside you. But it's how that movement gets inside you was the key. It was the end result of the key. It was the glory, the honey part of the key. There's a journey that God said, if you will believe, that he that cometh to God must first believe that I am everything I said I am, and then I'll reward you. Because you won't stay if you don't believe it. You'll turn aside from it. But if you'll make it to the end, I have something for you and the Father that I walked in. A realm that I walked in. And it's not just seeing it from what I call a sanctified imagination, which was good. It has to be sanctified, called out from the world. But I'm going to use a part of you that is a dominion mechanism. Because I gave man the dominion. In this realm, I don't work apart from you. I work with you. And it's a dominion mechanism. But I've got to seed that into you. It's going to be seeded into a spiritual part of you that can dream the same dream the Father has. But you have to bring your belief system and let him baptize your belief system into his belief system for you. And there's a lot of things contrary to the way he thinks about your life and the way you think about your life. And you don't think that till you get there, because he thinks higher, deeper, wider, fuller. And when you come in, you have to come into an agreement. But not only come in agreement, you have to get clothed in his thoughts towards you. And to where your thoughts are his thoughts are your thoughts. And there's no differentiation. You're dreaming at his same level. You're not dreaming with a mind. You're not dreaming with a mind. Get that out of the equation. You do not birth from the mind. You birth from the heart. As a man thinketh, believeth from the heart. That word will be in your heart. It'll be in your mouth. But then there's another realm. The Father's glorious plan. Didn't understand it till got caught up in it. And I realized that while we're going up that mountain, you put that image up there, Chris, we would get up in the love of the Father. I mean, I know a little bit about it. He loved me for a whole year in that realm. There's a lot of stuff he took out. And he took a lot more out after that. He's always taking stuff out. It's awesome when he comes in and loves you like that. I realized that was top, the mountain love. When I got into the dream realm, well, I don't know how to explain it. Father's realm, glory realm. The Lord said, my glory I give to you. I will you be with me where I am, that you may see the Father the way I see him. I can only do what I see the Father doing. Okay, in this realm here, all these thoughts that he has towards you, all that this plan that's conceived, that's been sitting inside of him. Think about this. Your life has been sitting inside the Father for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Or maybe eternity. It's a well-oiled garden. It is a full garden. It has his glory. It has life. And it's done. He said, every moment of every day, I've created it. We look at our life, I'm like, there's something wrong between that book of yours and the book that I'm reading right now. See, the enemy has a book too. And he'll constantly make you read his pages in this jurisdiction. He'll throw his pages at you one thing after another, after another, after another. You read too much of the enemy's pages, you'll look like him, talk like him. You partake of God's pages. You'll look like him, talk like. But see, God's got something else. Because when he sticks this inside you, it's a book. What do you do when you read a book? You imagine. Oh, we're not into self-confidence. Neither am I. I'm into God confidence. But when you're reading God's book, he opens the image. Why do you think God came and talked to you in parables? Father sent the Lord, go talk to him in parables, try to describe who we are by something in their realm. That's what he does. Look, they don't know how to contain us. Go and talk for me, sends his son. Speak in parables. Talk to them about lilies and talk to them about treasures in the field and the kingdom of God's like a seed and you plant it in the ground. Talk to them in something they can understand, but they can see. They can understand my realm. So you get in God's realm and he starts opening his book. He's going to open the image. Not facts. He's going to roll out an image, a panoramic image of your life. And what he's seating himself in, he's actually taking his living realm and placing it inside you. And the way he does that is by a dreaming, what I call dreaming or perambulating with it. And you move into it and you start seeing things and connecting with it. And you start doing it. And all of a sudden he fills you with himself in this area. And the more you do it, the more glorious it gets. But here's the difference. It has love in it. It has glory. It has life. It doesn't have just a positive image in it over here. It's got God in it. And he's literally transferring himself into you. Transferring a living will, a living plan, a living glory, a living hope, a living love inside of you. Now you're a carrier. The more you do it, the more you carry. The more you're full. You don't know how full you are till you get back over in this realm. You come back over here and you start releasing and the room lights up like, whoa! Gets heavy. Right? So we're in there, right? But what he's offering you, it's a treasure beyond treasures. Because you can shift whole cities. You can shift generations. You come out of this realm with glory on you. And today, when we got caught up into this realm, we suddenly got back. We came back into this room. Remember the mountain? Remember 20 minutes ago, if you were hearing me? That mountain that was dark? I mean, I didn't go to that mountain. Didn't have a... You know, that was an encounter. Wasn't planning on going back in there. Suddenly we're praying and we get caught back up standing right there. I'm like, what are we doing on this mountain today? And the door's wide open. This time, all I did was just step up into the door of it and the glory was filled with glory. I'm like, whoa, the glory of God was coming out of the mountain. I said, something has changed. He says, yes, you have. Because you see now, not from a darkened lens. You see from the light of the glory of my truth. You weren't seeing in truth in the first encounter. That's why it was dark. Now you're seeing the truth and the glory. I'm like, this mountain is ready to roll out. And that key... He said, you remember that key I gave you? Here's what he said. The foundations of that key are completed. The blueprint of that key is finished right here in this realm. That key and all of its training is done. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm like, all of a sudden, are you ready for this? We come out, that key was done. That key turned into that sword that was given like 15 years ago. Suddenly this glorious, and I was trying in the spirit, this glorious sword. He goes, that was the key to the house of David. That was a key given to the church of Philadelphia for the last days. And that key has opened the door for this house. And that key now is going to bring out the sword. And that sword put Mammon down. It put down. Solomon came up and attested to the fact. He said, there is neither evil occurrence or adversary anywhere in my kingdom. David put it down. The same sword that put that down in that hour, that sword's coming out again. But it's not a natural sword. It's a spiritual sword. But that thing was glowing with glory today. That sword, he said, take that into the earth. When he says, take that in the earth, come back in, come back to reality. You're shifting jurisdictions. This all happened this morning before church. We get back in this jurisdiction. That sword is like here. Watch this. You remember when the Lord's standing on the seven stars in his right hand? He said, these are the angels, messengers. Same word for John. I'll send my messenger, Angelos. And he said, these are the messengers of the churches. When you carry a message, you sit with him as a star in his right hand with the light and the glory of the message for that church. You are about to watch the Church of Philadelphia unveil before humanity. The foundations have been laid. That key, out from that key, turned into a sword in the glory of God. He said, bring that into the earth. That means bring it down into the prayer closet. Get back into today. What's today? 27? I get the, because you get in that realm, I can't remember, and it is 27. I got to think 27. I'm like, I have to stand back down in here. You got to pull out. Step in. Now what the Lord said, give that to me. He said, these things are going to be done by me and my spirit. I'm going to teach you a little more about how to release that more in this realm at a later time. Now, here's what he wanted me to tell you. He said, do you understand something? That the devil that has resisted you and my people all your lifetime, if there's any one thing he lusteth for, it's that. He told me that. He said, if he built, this is what the Lord said to me. The enemy lusteth after that stuff. He stole what I gave to Adam. The Father gave to Adam a whole realm of dominion given specifically for man. The enemy intercepted it before it ever got off the ground and built his whole kingdom around it, by the way. Everything the enemy gives to these people out there and makes them go sacrifice for it, everything he gives, he stole. And when he's standing from the Lord in the garden, he goes, listen, just bow down and serve me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. I mean, the Lord could have just stood up and slapped him right upside the jaw and said, do you understand that my Father gave that to you? He could have had an argument right there. So let me tell you something right now. He could have just, I'm going to have a few words with you, boy. Ain't none of that yours in the first place. That was from my Father. You stole it. Now you're offering it to me. How dumb can you get and still breathe? That ain't yours. But Lord, can you believe all the stuff he knew and had to just sit there? He'd be saying to Sanhedrin and be, I mean, he withheld the wisdom of God when they were just hammering him. All he had to do was speak and he could deliver himself. He said nothing. He said, I worship the Lord my God and him only will I serve. He didn't even contest that fact. Yeah, it's yours by default because you stole it. But don't worry, we're going to get it back. He made no defense. He goes, when we're done, there's going to be another church age coming. And everything you stole, when I'm done, I'm going to take David's crown, his sword, and his whole government up into the kingdom. How do we know that? Unto a child has been born, a son has been given, the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And the house of David will I establish. He sits on the throne of David now. He will administrate with the keys, the sword, the government, and the glory. And none of that realm was given to the early church. They were laying a foundation for the best wine for the last time. And I promise you, every apostle would gladly change places with you. They're probably thinking, what is wrong with these people? Look at that stuff God's offering them. That's why they're all sitting in this room, like Rick Joyner said, and they're watching the last days unfold because they can't wait to see the fruit of what they lay a foundation for. Because the Lord has reserved this day where he goes, listen, I brought a whole kingdom from your realm up into heaven and I perfected it up here. It's a crown now. There's a throne up here. There's glory and there's the sword. And I'm going to bring all that back here for the last days. the kings and priests are reigning there, and all of it's coming out, which was that mountain, by the way. That was David's, Solomon's wealth. Not just wealth. You're talking about the whole thing, the glory. People don't understand. In Solomon's day, it wasn't the wealth. It was the glory of God with it. We don't understand that. Because you can get corrupted by wealth. But when the glory of God's with us, like Solomon, king, queen of Sheba, just bit the dust, the glory of God hit her. And she's still looking at all the magnificence of God came down in the earth. She goes, I've never seen, I have no more spirit left in me. I've never seen anything like this. She just gave him an offering of $20 million. And she's... because the glory realms with it. I saw that sword. And when I came down here, he said, this is almost done now. He goes, this has got to be brought here. In this realm, we think God's all powerful in this realm. But he gave the authority to the church. The Lord Jesus told Kevin Sadai, he goes, I can't come back to the harvest. I've given the harvest. The church is in charge of the harvest. He goes, you guys keep thinking we're going to do this. We've already done this. You just don't understand how to get the done part to the earth. We're getting the understanding how to get the done part. See, he's got to write it inside you. That's called substance. That's called evidence. He writes a living realm inside you. And then you bring that living realm down here. That's what I started this. I said, when you start calling for glory and power and revival, you can call for it, see for it, pray for it, repent for it, or you can have it. Peter and John, they were praying and they are caught up in the upper room and they come down and said, such as I have, silver and gold I don't have, but what I got, say, such as I have. They didn't try to go get it. They had it. It was on them. They prayed, released, boom, God get healed. That's what's going to happen in that realm, except we can bring whole things down. There's no limitation. He goes, you're the one that limits me, not me. He goes, you can bring a lot of stuff down, or you can bring a little bit or nothing, but it's all there. He said, I'm going to get this point across. The devil wants this because he built his whole system off of this. And I did something. I put it out of reach. As the last Adam, I took it out of his reach and I laid it up in heavenly place. I took the throne, the sword, the wealth, the glory. I put the inheritance in spiritual places. I put it everything above him. He can't have it. Because he'll take serious advantage of you when you're weak and young and not understanding. He's still, how many of you have been stolen from? I mean, if the Lord started recompense us seven times every time we've been stolen from, man, we would be sitting as fat cats right now. The enemy's always stealing down here. I mean, this lately, like, whatever, take it. I don't care. Wait till we get this coming down from heaven. Take it. I'm not going to fight you over that beans. I got something up here that's far greater than what you want me to fight you over. So if I fight you, I'm going to get plugged up. I get plugged up. I can't bring none of that down here. The Lord said he wants that. But I won't give it to him. And I'm going to close with this. Listen to me very carefully. The reason I require maturity, because the enemy can steal what I bring down unless you understand how it's protected. He wants it more than anything because it's out in the glory realm. And the people who walk in the glory realm, watch this. They're the ones that can bring it down. They're target enemy number one. Why? It's not you he's having a problem with. It's the stuff he lusted after. The stuff he wants. He built the whole kingdom and he wants that stuff that he can't get access to. And when you bring it down, man, everybody's, woo! But man, he comes after it and you have to be skilled to stay with the Lord enough to keep him out. Until you're skilled, God can't give you boatloads of this to bring down. But when we get skilled and God trusts us, we grow up a little bit, he'll start bringing some truckloads down. We think truckload changed our whole life for about 50 years. God said, that's just a truckload. I need you to change somebody else's life for 50 years. I need you to change a whole city for 50 years. You see that? He goes, there's no, this realm's unlimited. And you think, and we're letting the to-do list whoop us right now? You know, the do list when you go to pray and all things you got to do right then, right there. So you learn to overcome that. He's flooding you with anxiety. Why? He's come to keep you at that door. He stands thieves. It's amazing when he talks about the door. I need to close. But y'all are listening. Y'all are pulling it right now. Praise God. He says, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he'll be saved. So he goes, he shall be saved, right? Then he'll go in and out. Say in and out. We were meant to go into the kingdom and come back out with some goods. Find some pasture, bring something out. But the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He put that scripture right there. He's trying to steal, kill, destroy coming in, steal, kill, and destroy coming out. You're going to be an administrator of this gate. You're going to be highly effective. You're going to be incredibly blessed. But you're going to have a little bit of maturity of walking with God. Because the enemy will not leave you alone, and you have to live above him. If you don't get above him, he'll harass you always. You get above him, he can't touch you. He'll come. I'm not going to paint an easy picture, but you'll overcome quickly. Amen. Let's give God glory. We are on the threshold. The sword is about. It's coming out now. It's forged. The sword has been forged. Not going to go cut flesh and blood. It's going to cut enemies down in the spirit. They've been holding back things illegally.